Today we're going to talk about, for the next few minutes, the power to be a victor. What is a victor? A victor is a winner, an overcomer in the tough situation you might find yourself in today. Last week we talked about going from being a victim of a negative situation to being a victor. You know, you may be in a tough place right now in your life, friends. Maybe by your doing, your wrongdoing, or somebody else's wrongdoing. But God wants to give you the grace and the strength to be a winner in your life. You know, a lot of people have been in a tough situation so long in their life that they have developed this victim mentality. You know, and the enemy has deceived them into believing that they'll always be there. And that's what the victim mentality is. It's thinking, I'm in a tough spot. I'll always be in this tough spot. I'll always be in this small place. But I'm here to tell you today, don't let the devil convince you that you always have to remain there. You can win through Jesus Christ. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. See, here's the good news. As you become a winner, a victor, in one area of your life, by God's grace, He will encourage you that you can be a victor, a winner in other areas of your life that you may be struggling in right now. That's good news, right? Amen. If God did it once in one area, He can do it for you in another area. And what are some of the keys that will cause us to be victors, winners, over the tough situations in our life? Talked about a couple of the keys last week.
Obedience.
It's better than sacrifice. God loves obedience. Deuteronomy 28, the first 13 or 14 verses, talks about the blessings of those who are obedient to the commands of God. God loves obedience. He blesses obedience. Amen?
Amen?
And could it be that maybe you're in the tough spot today because God asked you to do something and maybe you didn't do it? Well, friends, God is the God of a second chance, the God of a third chance. He is abounding in love. His mercies are everlasting. Another key that will cause you to be a victor, a winner, is this. Is in your hard place, start praying to God. Start singing hymns to God like Paul and Silas in Acts 16 when they were in prison. They were praying to God in the prison cell. They were singing hymns and the prison doors flew open. They were delivered. And the jailer's entire family was saved. That's awesome, isn't it? Awesome, right? Today I want to talk to you about divine empowerment to go from being a victim of a bad situation in your life to being a victor, a winner over that tough area. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 6 and then 11. Divine empowerment to be a victor, a winner. When you're there, lift up your head. All right. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Let's jump down to verse 11 of Matthew 3. This is what it says. John says, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." John the Baptist baptized people in water as a symbol that they were repenting of their sins. They were changing their minds from going their way to going God's way. But he said, "One greater than me is coming. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire." Now, we do work on people's homes here in Tulsa. And during the summer, we get some really hot days here in Tulsa. And Brett knows this. We work sometimes in 95, 100, 105 degree days. And when it's that hot, it saps you of your energy, right? You can't think straight. Your tongue dries up. You get sleepy. You just need some water. And so I could remember one time I was at a client's house. And I forgot to bring water that day. And I don't think, perhaps the client was not home. So I thought to myself, what can I do? So eagerly I began to look around the house for a hose spigot. And I found it. Turned it on, let the water flow a little bit, it was cool, and I just lapped it into my mouth. It was so refreshing. It just moistens the tongue, it rehydrates you, it satisfies you, so that you can continue going on with your project, right? How many have been there before? Working outside on a really hot day. Cold water feels really good, right? It's refreshing to the human body. Jesus says something here about spiritual refreshment. In John chapter 7, let's turn there. John 7, verses 37 and 38. Jesus is talking about a spiritually refreshing experience. When you're there, let me know you're there. All right. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." Streams of living water flowing from within the person that comes to Jesus and drinks. What was Jesus talking about? In John 7, verse 38. Okay, good. Anybody else? He was talking about divine empowerment, a refreshing experience in the Holy Spirit. And John notes in verse 39 that the Holy Spirit had not yet been given until Jesus was glorified. All right, let's turn to Acts 1, where Jesus was about to be glorified. Acts chapter 1. Verses 1 through 5. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote all about that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about." Verse 5, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Let's jump down to verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Verse 9, "After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" So we see here in Acts 1, he describes the account where Jesus had been glorified that John talked about in John 7, verse 39. Then the experience of all experiences occurred in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Let's read it. It was Pentecost. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting." Verse 3. "They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." When did Pentecost occur? The experience of all experiences here in Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. It occurred 50 days after Passover. So what refreshing experience, what streams of living water am I talking about today? Was Jesus talking about in John 7:38? What streams of living water was Jesus talking about in John 7, verse 38? It's an open book test. It's found in Acts 2, verse 4. What's this refreshing experience? Look at Acts 2:4 if you have a Bible. It's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, last week, we worked outside on somebody's house, and it happened to be a really hot day. It was really humid outside. Brett might remember this. And I was tired. I couldn't think straight. I was overheated. Got back home and thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to take a dip in the neighborhood pool. It's about 6 o'clock at night. So I went over to the neighborhood pool after I put my swimming trunks on, opened up the door, and I literally baptized my body in that pool. It felt so good. It was refreshing. I could think straight again. It was just a satisfying experience, and that's what baptism is. Baptism is an immersion into. It's being enveloped by, being totally overtaken by. And that's what baptism in the Holy Spirit is. Well, you know, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit of God came to dwell on the inside of you. And this Holy Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you wants to give you a spiritually refreshing experience as the Spirit enables you. Acts 2:4. What is one of the evidences? One of the evidences of this spiritually refreshing experience, this baptism in the Holy Spirit. What is one of the evidences? It's open book right there in Acts 2:4. Speaking in tongues. A friend of mine a couple of years ago, I'm not going to mention the church, was in a church here in Tulsa, and the minister's wife got up. She was ministering, and she began to speak in heavenly tongues, other tongues. And my friend told me that she thought that the minister's wife was interpreting for foreign speakers. She later came to find out that it was the baptism in the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues. And she received the experience herself. And you may have seen people speaking in tongues, and it might have confused you in the past. But you know what? God can also give you this spiritually refreshing experience, this baptism in the Holy Spirit. Somebody once said this, man of God, it seems that God does nothing except somebody prays. It seems that God does nothing except somebody prays. I'm talking about praying today, not necessarily in English. Yes, if you don't speak in tongues, you can pray to God in English. God understands. He will speak. But I'm talking about praying with your spirit in a heavenly tongue to God, having this spiritually refreshing experience. Let me ask you this. How does praying in heavenly tongues help you? How does it help you? How does it help you to get out of the pit you might be in today into the palace that God has for your life? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 through 2.
When I pray in the Spirit, it usually strengthens me.
That's it. We're going to get there. That's awesome. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Verse 2. Here's the key. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. What is he telling us here in verse 2? That when you speak in this heavenly tongue, you are speaking not to men. You're speaking directly to whom? Directly to God. Here is an illustration. I've got a light fixture here with a fluorescent bulb in it. All right? You see this, right? It's got the bulb in it. I can switch the switch on and off. It's not going to do anything, right? Okay, it does nothing. But as soon as I plug this cord, as Brett plugs this cord into the power source, and I switch it on, what happens? What happens? The light comes on. What happens? What happened?
Connected.
We connected this fixture into the power source. So there was a transference of the power from the outlet into the fixture, and it turned the fluorescent bulb on. See that picture? Well, guess what? When you speak in a tongue, you are connecting to God, the ultimate power source. Should I say it again? When you speak in heavenly tongues, you are connecting to Almighty God, Yahweh, the ultimate power source, so that the power that He has is transferred from Him into your life, so that you can go from the hard place, from being a victim of situations, to being a victor, a winner over the tough place in your life today. Is that making sense? Plain and simple. When you speak in tongues, you're speaking directly to God. You're praying to God. You're tapping into the ultimate power source. And His power is transferred into your spirit. And look what He says in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 14. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. What does it mean that when you speak in a tongue to God, that you edify yourself? What does it mean? He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. It means that you are built up on the inside. You're strengthened. You're encouraged. You're comforted. And friend, you may be in a tough spot right now. And you might be wondering, God, I don't know what to do. And you know, God wants to give you this spiritually refreshing experience, His baptism in the Holy Spirit. He wants you to speak in tongues. And when you're speaking in tongues and praying to God, guess what? He may drop an idea into your spirit, into your mind. Do this. Write this letter. Make this phone call. Read this chapter in the Word. Change your exercise plan. Change your diet. God is going to drop divine ideas into your spirit as you communicate to Him, with Him in this heavenly tongue. Is that making sense? You're speaking to God when you speak in tongues. You edify yourself on the inside. Like this brother was saying, you may be weak on the inside. You may be spiritually going backwards. I encourage you to pray to God. He can give you this refreshing experience. It will build you up deep down on the inside. God wants to give you His strength, His divine empowerment to go from being in the pit that you're in right now, perhaps, to being in the palace that God has for your life. You may be in the pit financially, but God wants to bring you into His palace of prosperity. You may be in the pit of illness and disease, but God wants to bring you into the palace of wholeness. You may be in the pit of depression right now. Start praying in tongues to God. And you can go from being in the pit to being in the palace of joy and God's peace. Making sense? All right. You know, I've been in tough situations in my life where my mind starts going crazy. And in those tough situations, I just begin praying to God in the Spirit, praying with heavenly tongues. And it's like God just brings a peace over my life. You know, when I prepare these messages on a weekly basis, guess what I'm doing as I'm preparing? I'm communicating to God in tongues. Speaking to God, God, what are you wanting me to say today? What scriptures are you wanting me to use? And God responds back through a pencil that I write with. Writing the message down, writing the notes down, writing the scriptures on paper. It's powerful, friends. It is powerful. God wants to give you divine empowerment, strength on the inside, a refreshing experience. And it all begins with accepting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. At the point that you accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, takes up residence on the inside of you. And after He takes up residence on the inside of you, He wants to give you this refreshing experience. It's not just for some people. It was not just for the people in the New Testament 2,000 years ago. It is still for us today. God doesn't change. He's still the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This experience that the 120 had in Acts chapter 2 is available to you today. To be totally immersed, surrounded by the Spirit of God to where you're talking to God in heavenly tongues and being built up on the inside. And to where God is dropping divine ideas into your mind, solutions into your mind as you're praying to Him in tongues. Amen? Praying in tongues helps in another way. To close off the message. Acts 1 verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This spiritually refreshing experience, evidenced by speaking in tongues, does what for us? It helps make us what for Christ? Acts 1:8. It's right there. It helps us become witnesses for Jesus Christ. You may be the only Jesus somebody else ever sees. God wants to give you that power through Spirit baptism. Praying in the Spirit. It all begins, as I said, with accepting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord.